Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson.
Welcome to Episode 85 of Soccer Over Gotham. I'm Gary, the host and producer, flying solo. Ruby is under the weather. Get better quickly, Ruby. Stick with me, friends, because we have a lot to cover on this episode. Let's get to the rundown. Gotham shows championship grit and mentality in a wild come-from-behind 3-3 away match against the Courage. We will also have injury updates, roster updates, and contract news. We'll get you caught up on all the playoff scenarios and where Gotham is in regards to the playoffs and the Shield hunt. There's just so much to talk about. Let's get right into it. First, a podcast update. Just watch our socials. I'm working on something special. I'm not sure if I can figure it out logistically, but if I pull it off, it's going to be really, really fun, and I can't wait. So just, again, stay tuned. Let's get over to some team news. Now, McCallzer Boney has gone through a successful surgery and was put on injury reserve for an ACL tear. Quote, "I will lace up these boots again." And I just got to say for myself that I'm just devastated. McCall was playing some of her best soccer. Honestly, with such confidence, she was a difference maker on the pitch. That goal she scored from way outside the box a couple of games ago was an absolute rocket. Another reason this team needs to win a championship, as if they needed any more reasons. McCall was signed to a one-year contract without an option, so anyone can recover from this ACL tear at 36. It is that warrior right there. Speedy recovery, McCall. We're all rooting for you. On the positive side, we got Bruninha signed until 2025, which is exactly what we spoke about on the last episode. We talked about building a solid core of young players and players this team can build around for years to come. Bruninha is a special, special, special player and already a fan favorite. I'm glad they got this done. Now we have Abby Smith, Nyswanger, Bruninha, Ryan, Taylor Smith, Fiona Anamanu, Lynn Williams, and Esther Gonzalez signed to 2025. That is a core group of players that you can build around, and those are special players, and I'm glad they're sticking around for a while. I'm super excited about this roster going forward. Just super happy. Let's get over to this game, since it was a pretty crazy, crazy matchup. Going into this one, Gotham hadn't lost the Courage in 3 matches. Now, as a whole, Gotham is not scoring a lot of goals, and they're not conceding many goals. They are 11th in goals per match and 2nd in goals conceded per match. On the flip side, the Courage are the top possession team in the league, and they are the league's best home record and lead the league in clean sheets. Now, we got to talk about this injury report. It is long. We still have Amani Dorsey out for an excused absence. Allie Long is out for a lower leg. Abby Smith with a lower leg. Taylor Smith is out for a thigh. Taryn Torres, season-ending knee injury. McCallzer Boney added to the injury list as a season-ending knee injury. More on that later. Christy Mewis is out with a lower leg. And Yasmin Ryan is out with suspension for yellow card accumulation. Now, I saw something from the fans when they were mentioning that Gotham, quote, lied to them when they're saying that Esther was going to start on the game on the 16th. However, Gotham's roster was full and there was no open roster spots for Esther to play. However, with McCallzer Boney ending up on season-ending injury, that freed up a roster spot for Esther to play early. So that is where her roster spot came from. And on the other side of that, now that Katie Stengel's loan has expired, Gotham does have a roster spot open. Let's see what they do with it. Now, this formation is very familiar to us. It's a 4-3-3. Out across the front, it's pretty exciting. We got Williams, Stengel, and Anamanu. In the midfield, we got Farrelly back, Martin, and Sheehan. And then across the back, we got Nyswanger, Krieger, Lopez, and Bruninha. And because Abby Smith is out, McGlynn is in goal. Now, given the amount of injuries to this midfield and the abundance of healthy center backs, I was expecting Lopez to be in the midfield. You know, otherwise, this is a very good starting 11. I'm just always happy to see Anamanu getting another start. Also, it seems like when Amoros gets an idea, he sticks with it. almost like he has to see the experiment all the way through to its conclusion. Now, Delaney entered the starting 11 and never left. Martin has started over Long and hasn't given up her spot. Even Jean at one point over Edmonds, once she got the start, she continued there. And now it's Lopez over Jean. And it's very interesting. But getting to this game, now, what is there to say about this first half? It reminded me a lot of the game last season against the Current, where Dabinia was just not to be stopped. In a very similar way, Caroline was just floating from one side to the other, from one pocket of space to the other. The first goal came from Nyswanger taking a poor angle. She's still a rookie and learning the defensive side of the game. But when you're matched up with players like Caroline and she has a step on you, it's best to kind of attack the space where she's trying to get to rather than go directly to the player. She's too good not to get the edge on you. Now, every goal in this game was spectacular from both sides. They were all fantastic. High degree of difficulty goals. Loved it. Now, the second goal was a bit of magic too. And admittedly, I was very deflated going into the half. And I was curious going into this one, see how the Courage would adjust to Gotham. Since Gotham ran them off the pitch in the last matchup, they switched to a 4-2-3-1 last match to an expansive 4-3-3 with two defensive midfielders. It's easier to corral them in a small area and cut off their lanes forward. But with just Sullivan, they have just an extra player to overload other areas of the field. It often felt like the Courage were winning the numbers game. They just seemed to have more attackers than we had defenders, and they had more defenders than we had attackers. So, you know, at this point, it's up to Gotham to adjust. And adjustments were definitely needed. Subs were definitely needed. And I'm glad we got some directly going into the half. This team just looked out of sync, and the Courage just looked like their normal self. Now we get Ellie and Jean to center back. We get Lopez pushed up to defensive mid. Martin was taken out, and Edmonds was put in left back, pushing Nyswanger to forward and pulled Anamanu out. I actually really enjoyed these halftime adjustments. Now onto the second half. The second half was eerily similar to a different game last season, and this was the one against Portland at the end of last season. Gotham gets one back and then just gives the crowd and the fans just a glimmer of hope, only to immediately go down 3-1. And again, takes you down a bit. You get a little bit frustrated, a little bit depressed. But Gotham doesn't stop. They keep coming. They keep fighting. They get more aggressive as the game goes on. And they get a 3-3 draw out of this game. What a tale of two halves. What an absolute roller coaster. It was the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. Again, just like that Portland game. This was a championship level of grit and determination. A theme of what Amaro says, it's not what happens when things go wrong, but how we respond to them is what matters. The response from this team was pretty exciting. And I don't think anyone wants to play Gotham in the playoffs because this team is not going away. Now let's talk about these goals. The first goal is Kristen with her high soccer IQ. She always knows what the game needs. She pulls in Alex Morgan, just drive at the defender, and if they put their hands on you, just go down. Easy penalty. And of course, our rookie, Jenna Nyswanger, she's a killer. Perfect penalty, bottom corner with pace. There's no stopping that, even if the keeper is guessing right. It is super impressive that a rookie, given this roster, is seemingly the penalty taker. And we need to pad Jenna's stats with Messiah Bright starting to give her a run for the rookie of the year. So we got to get her numbers up. We joked about Lopez giving some height to a pretty short back line last week, but it proved only true, not just on defense, but going forward. Edmonds hits a great floating cross to the back post. Lopez knocks it down and gets it just on frame to the back post. Now, I say this a lot, but the most important thing about goal scoring is hitting the target. You know, it doesn't have to be perfectly placed or with power, just get it on frame. And Lopez does that. Well done. Opens her account, hopefully more and many more to come. Now this third goal, this sequence is sublime. Mandy hits, under pressure, a 50-yard curling strike, inched perfect to a pushed up Edmonds on the left sideline. Kristen plays a Megan Rapinoe curler just behind the defense. Lynn, her work rate is just insanity. She beats the defense to it to free it up for a crashing Midge Purse to knock it home. What a comeback. Really felt like Gotham could get one more. The momentum was just all in their favor at the end of this game. We also got the debut of Esther Gonzalez, and I'll tell you what I think of her debut. Fantastic. She is a striker with the feet of a midfielder. She just combines so well. She's good everywhere on the field with her back to goal, finding space around the box, and it also seems that she has a connection right away with Midge Purse. They were immediately looking for each other, picking their heads up, trying to find each other in space, and it just looked really good right off the bat. And I think that Esther raises the level of players around her. I'm super excited for a front line of Purse, Gonzalez, and Williams. I don't think there's a team in this league that's going to want to see those three coming at them at one time. It's going to be craziness. I think Lopez being pushed up a little bit higher on the field into the midfield, since she's so familiar with Esther, may be a good way to accelerate her just getting going. We do also have to talk about Edmonds leaving the pitch. An aggressive shoulder in the back of a defenseless player and had her on the ground for minutes and leaving on a stretcher with the thumbs up. Now, I just want to say that Kristen is a super tough person and a player. It's that Jersey spirit that we all have. I have no doubt that she's going to be fine. And she did update us that she's recovering well and she can't wait to get back on the field. And I'm super excited about that. Obviously, you know that Kristen is a special player to me. We traveled in similar soccer circles. And, you know, again, I got to play with her. I got to be coached by her at one point when I was recovering from ACL surgery. I'm just grateful to her. She's a fighter. She's as Jersey as it gets. I mean, even her dog is named Jersey. I wish her nothing but the best and the quickest recoveries. We need you, Kristen. Let's go. On to some post-game quotes that I found were interesting. First was Midge on the comeback. She said, "I like that we didn't think. We were just feeling it. We were just prepared. We worked so hard in training. Juan said in the locker room, 'You tear each other apart, now go tear them apart.'" He was telling the players to go out and just get yellow cards. She says, "I know I'm getting a pat on the back for mine, even though I don't like getting yellow cards. It was a good mindset change, and she's proud of the team." And I am as well. Sometimes you just need to go out there and fight. And they did exactly that. And Amos also says on luck, he says, "We were definitely unlucky in San Diego. I think we definitely should have won the game against Louisville. And today, even if you look at the statistics, even if it's the first half, they were pretty good. We probably should have won this game and completed the comeback with one of those posts." And honestly, I agree. No notes. Now, my stat of the game was from Opta and says, "Gotham FC is the second team since 2018 to avoid defeat in an away match despite trailing by 2+ goals in the 70th minute or later, which was San Diego at Orlando in 2022. And that is an incredible, incredible rally. This team is tough and they're just not going away. Let's get to our player of the game on Twitter at OverGothamPod. Fans chose Purse. So thanks to all the fans who voted. Now, I agree with Midge. Not that it is Midge, but with Midge. She said after the match, she was told she was Gotham FC's player of the match. And she said, "That's really humbling considering that I thought there were many players who did very absolutely fantastic today. For me, I have to say Kristen Edmonds is the player of the match. I mean, she drew the PK. She played the ball that started the third goal and she put her body on the line for us. So she was absolutely fantastic. So very, very humbling. And I appreciate it." And I agree with that. For me, again, it's Edmonds. Game changer. Was involved in all three of the goals, got the penalty, hit the great cross that started the second goal, and that cross behind the line was just sublime that created the third goal. So well done, Kristen. Now on to the league news. There's actually a lot of league news to cover on this week's episode. Chicago has new owners finally. Took too long, but I'm glad it seems like they found the right group. This is a diverse group of investors led by Laura Ricketts and prominent Chicago women business and civic leaders. Has officially taken ownership of the Chicago Red Stars. And this is a deal worth $60 million. It is $25 million in immediate investments, and it was $35 million to buy the team. What is there not to like? It is a local investor group that's keeping the team there. And Chicago is a soccer city. They have really suffered by poor ownership at both the MLS and NWSL level. They deserve so much more, and I'm so happy for them. And let's go, Chicago. Now, the commissioner had an address this week, and I'll give you a couple of notes from that address. First, the league will begin another expansion round at the end of 2023, fourth quarter. There are two teams to be added. Boston is most likely one. They have already begun renovations on a 10,000-seat stadium for their club, which is very exciting. It'll be small, but it'll be lively. We also have an update on the sale of OL in Portland. Quote, with multiple teams up for the sale, the commissioner revealed that this week was a preliminary deadline for the ongoing sales, and there are multiple bidders for both franchises, which is super exciting. I hope they also find the right ones that are invested in the group, keeping the teams where they are, and investing in the roster in this league. And yeah, hopefully more Michelle Kangs. Also, the league set a new record for in-game attendance across the entire league this year. Last season, the league celebrated the 1 million turnstile mark, but broke the record with 1,060,978 with four games remaining on the schedule. The new record includes a record 11 regular season games with more than 20,000 fans in attendance, up from four games in 2022. Super exciting. I hope Gotham FC can find that spark to get more people into this stadium. That stadium would be ridiculous with 20,000 fans in it for one match of Gotham. It would be so loud, so ruckus. Wow, it would be cool. But let's move over to the standings. Now, this is absolutely bonkers. This is the craziest end of the season in league history. It just has to be. Every team is within 11 points of each other, which is insanity. 6 points separate the top eight. 3 points separate the top five. And Gotham is 3 points from the leader, San Diego. So here are the two scenarios at present which can get Gotham the shield. First, the first one is match the Waves tally from these last four games, plus a win and make up 4 point differential. So if San Diego wins two and loses two, we have to win three and beat up on some teams for a plus four goal differential better than San Diego. Or we can match and get a win and a draw. Going back to if San Diego wins two, loses two, Gotham has to win three and draw the last game. It's possible, very tough, but it's possible. Now we got four games to go. Three of them are at home, which is super exciting. Two against the top six teams. The one remaining away match is against current number two Portland. That's going to be a big one. They're probably going to want revenge for last season. First up, we have the Washington Spirit at home. Back at Red Bull Arena, this one is massive. The bottom two teams in last year's standings are fighting for their spot in this year's playoffs. What a turnaround for these two squads. There are no easy games left on the table, and every game is a playoff game. This is the first of three last home matches for Ali Krieger in the regular season. Honestly, if you're a fan of hers on any level, you have to be there. You have to watch these last three games. Gotham has one win in their last five. They're 1-1-3. Gotham needs to pick up where they left off in North Carolina and put Washington away early. Get those 3 points, go for the shield. This roster is honestly capable of anything. Let's go. Now, on the other hand, Washington absolutely dropped the ball last weekend. All they had to do was beat last place Chicago at home, and they were in the second place, 1 point from the leader. They had Rodman, they had Sanchez, they had Hatch all on the field. Chicago got a 2-0 victory on the road in Washington. Ouch. They are playing for their playoff lives now, and they can drop below the playoff line if Gotham beats them. So they have a lot of motivation. And just going back to their last game, they put 21 shots on, 8 on target, and they had a 3.35 expected goals, and they still lost 2-0. On the other side, Chicago only had 5 shots in the entire game, only got 2 of those shots on target. They went in, and they had a 1.19 expected goals. It's crazy. This league is just insanity. These things should not be happening, but here we are. Now, I expect that arena to be electric. I expect Washington to come out flying as they are desperate for a result. We need that last game of last season against Portland kind of energy from here on out. I know that if we bring that energy, I don't think this team can lose. let's go around the league and see what other matchups we are going on and how they fit into Gotham making the playoffs and winning the Shield. First up, we have Racing Louisville at the Houston Dash. Houston Dash are all but out of the playoffs. They just fired their coach, and they have an interim coach who I think is another like Becky Tweed, who should be a head coach, but she's been, you know, overlooked a little bit. But I would like to see Houston take out Louisville in this one. Let's keep Louisville out of the playoffs. Tired of them. We have San Diego Wave at the Kansas City Current. Kansas City Current, another team completely out of it. Let them win. We need points on San Diego. Let's go KC. We also have the Portland Thorns at the OL Reign. And in this game, we're rooting for the Meteor. I want them to get the least amount of points possible. So if it's a draw, let it be a draw. But OL is hanging on also for their playoff lives. So pick your poison. It is what it is. And lastly, we got the Chicago Red Stars against Angel City, which from here on out, we are Chicago Red Stars fans. We're rooting for chaos. They don't play us, and they're at all contention for everything. So let's go chaos. Let them beat everybody else. And let's let them beat Angel City. And then we got Orlando Pride at the North Carolina Courage. Orlando's below the line. Courage is above the line. Let's go, Orlando. What I'm manifesting this week is no more injuries and hopefully speedy recoveries for all of our players. My random thought is this is the second time I have had to record an episode by myself. I do not like it one bit. But I know the first time I did it, I was so nervous and my anxiety was through the roof because I'm not used to talking in front of people without like having a conversation. I think I did a lot better this time. I think my energy was a little better. And hopefully I don't have to do this again, but at least I'll be prepared for it. Ruby, you can't get back fast enough. Let's go, Ruby. I just want to say that I love the fans who invest in this project every week. We have a set group of listeners that we can't shake no matter what. I'm glad you took this ride with me, and I wanted to say thank you to all of you. Now tonight, our guest, Annie, writes for the District Press and is one part of the fantastic podcast called Hey Spirits that covers the Washington Spirits. They're good friends of ours. Can't wait to talk to her. It's going to be a good time. Stick around. We'll see you at Red Bull Arena on the 16th. All right, fans. So this matchup this weekend is super important for both sides. You can call this a pre-playoff, playoff matchup, whatever you want to call it. I wanted to get caught up on one of the most interesting teams in the league. But who better to do that to get us ready for this matchup than Annie Elliott, who writes for the District Press and is one part of a very, very good podcast team over at the Hey Spirits. Welcome to the show, Annie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We at NWSL Podcast need to stick together, so I'm glad we're able to connect and get some of your expertise on your club.
Yeah, I'm excited. Never been a guest on a podcast before, so.
Oh, it's
see how it goes.
We'll be gentle on you. All right, so this is Saturday. It looks like to be a absolutely beautiful day in Harrison, New Jersey, but it's been craziness this season for all the teams with this crazy weather. How's it been this season for the Spirit with the weather?
I think the Spirit has generally had decent weather. Obviously, in DC, you're always going to get horrible humidity in the summer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I do think that has impacted play a little bit for some of these games. And we had one game with, I believe, over an hour rain delay at Audi Field about 5 minutes before the end of the first half.
Oh, I remember that. That was craziness. Yes, yes, yes.
And so I was at the stadium just kind of messing around on my laptop, walking around, waiting for things to start back up. And then we had 5 minutes play and halftime.
Yeah, we had a run of like three games in a row with rain delays. It was just craziness. Yeah, and I think it's not just us either. It's everybody. I think I saw today that the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration said today the U.S. has had a whopping 23 separate weather events and climate disasters that have each led to at least $1 billion in damage. That breaks the record set in 2020, which is craziness because we're still in September.
Yeah, definitely just scary for the world.
Yeah, the world's on fire.
I think we are seeing a lot of impact, like you're saying, on the NWSL and soccer teams here in America, kind of maybe raising the issue of whether we should change the schedule, but I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, right? But let's move on to the Spirit. So I'm curious, what was your expectations coming into this season after the season you had last season, new coach, new philosophy? Were you expecting to be kind of where you are?
So I don't know if I had. I think it's hard to say I had expectations. I think I had some hopes because obviously, like Gotham, we had the Spirit had a tough season last year, finished in 11th place. And then Mark Parsons came in, didn't make a lot of splashy signings in the offseason, just really picking up some players in the draft. And they had no picks in the first round, maybe not even the second round. So I think my hope was that the team would be in a better position than 11th, probably fighting, you know, my kind of best case scenario was they would be fighting for a playoff spot, maybe, you know, 6th, 7th place.
Yeah. And Mark Parsons tried, at least. I was at the draft and we were covering that. And in front of us was Portland, Gotham, and Angel City. And everyone's just super chill. Everyone's relaxed at their own table. But Mark Parsons is up and like walking around talking to everybody's tables like he was trying to get to move players. He was trying to get in different positions and quite interesting. So he was trying. But you have a really good roster. And how would you describe the playing style of Mark Parsons' coach team?
Well, I haven't really followed him very long, so I don't know if I could describe his playing style elsewhere. I think with the Spirit, he's talked about wanting them to have an attack, attack, attack mentality. And that's not necessarily, you know, be on the attack, but just to constantly be going after the ball. Never rest, never let your opponents rest easy. They've really focused on high pressure, high up the field, a lot of, you know, trying to force errors, trying to get interceptions, just kind of attacking mentality, I guess.
And do you think the fans have fully embraced him yet?
I think so at this point. I mean, I think the results have really done that. I know there was a little trepidation at first, especially some of the trade decisions. Mm-hmm. I think maybe free agency decisions weren't necessarily laid at his feet, but I know like the Emily Sonnet trade was a big concern among the fans. But I think the results and the way the players have responded this season, he seems to be accepted by the fan base at this point.
Yeah. And let's talk about the Spirit and where they currently are. The Spirit are number 2 in the entire world in pressures in the opponent's half. So as you're talking about, wants to be a high-pressure team, that is a very good sign of that. The number 1 team is Gotham. We're just slightly ahead of you guys. So this is going to be a really, really fun matchup. But the Spirit, they are your 5th in goals, your 8th in goals conceded, and then highest in the leagues in penalties awarded, which is good. So you got that going for you. But the Spirit are the lowest in the league in possession, accurate passes, and clean sheets. And if you look at the rest of the stat table, you're near the bottom of the stat category. So what does that say about this team?
Maybe I'll start with the bad. A lot of these things are things we've talked about on our show, particularly the low passing accuracy is something we've been concerned about. I've been interested to note the past few games, the Spirit have actually had a higher passing accuracy or passing completion rate than their opponents. So it does seem like something they're working on. I'm kind of wondering if, you know, they've recently shifted from the 4-4-2 they started the season in into more of a 4-3-3 or 4-3-2-1. And I'm wondering if that's maybe a symptom of that shift. But I think they've been a team that has been pretty good all season, has been surprising, but just has had some challenges that they have not really addressed yet, you know, that they're still working through. And those are the passing accuracy, I think clearances from and defense in the box. You know, they often fail on second ball, getting second balls, having someone to clear to. And then, as is very apparent from our last few games, finishing is a problem.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that. But when you're a high-pressure, high-pressing team, pass accuracy really isn't the end-all, be-all, because it's always like, you know, what good is 80% possession if you don't do anything with it, as, you know, as we'll get into that with that game. But currently, Washington is sitting in 6th. You were down one spot from last week. You're currently at 26 points. Your max points is 38. You still could. This is what's so crazy about this. Oh, we're going to get into this too, but
yeah.
Every team seems still in this. And right now, 4 games left, the top team in the league can still miss the playoffs, which is insanity. But let's get to that game last weekend, because I know like every game from here on out is a playoff game. So it's super important that you pick up every single point that you can. And there's no real like nice way to put it. Like, I guess you could say Washington dropped the ball. That's probably the nicest way to put it. I mean, 21 shots versus 3.35 expected goals versus 1.19 for Chicago, and to lose 2-0 at home. I know luck always plays a factor in these games, but what do you think that says about this team as far as like their vulnerabilities? Or do you think that this is a game that can turn them around?
I do think this is a team that has had ups and downs throughout the season. It tends to get, like many teams, reinvigorated by a loss like that. Mm-hmm. Every game is a must-win game, so everybody's going to, for everyone at this point. So going to be coming in with a lot of intensity. I think that could give them a little bit of boost going forward. Some of the issues, I mean, I think obviously still reintegrating the bulk of their attack, which was gone for the World Cup, being Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez. And they've got some new international players who come in during this break who I think are also still being integrated into the team. And I think there is a little bit of communication that is still needing to develop between those players. I saw a lot of crosses into the box that weren't well placed to where their teammates were going to be. I think they've just not been really placing the ball well for each other in dangerous areas. So, then any shots that do happen, they may be on target, but they can be a little weak or not well placed to get past a goalkeeper like Alyssa Nair. So I think that's been a little bit of the issue, is still kind of working into a good cohesive unit after that World Cup window.
And you have the trifecta of Rodman, Sanchez, and Hatch. You got those three that's your rocks, and that's going to be your team for the next couple of years. On the opposite side of Rodman, there seems to be like a shuffling of players to find out who is that complement to those top three. Who do you think that is on this roster, or do you think they haven't found it yet?
At this point, I think it is Ule Matassar, who mm-hmm. is this new French acquisition from FC Paris. Mark Parsons has said she is the reason for their formation shift. So she's the reason they have a third forward in the mix. And I think he has a lot of faith in her. I have been impressed with her ability to kind of gel with her teammates pretty quickly, especially, her first appearance, she had an assist. But I do still think there's a little bit of need for complete understanding of where each other will be.
Yeah, so far she looks like a really, really talented player, and I think she'll fit in well. And I'm hoping that's the case, because that attack could be really, really scary.
Yeah.
Now these last four games are pretty. There's no easy games from here on out for Washington. We got Racing in Angel City climbing to you guys, and then you got a game against us, and then you have two other games against top six opponents. What is your thoughts going into these last four games, and how high do you think Washington can climb?
Yeah, I want to say, I know OL Reign is one of the remaining ones, and North Carolina Courage. So definitely a very tough end of the season. I think it's all just going to depend. They really need wins. Have not gotten a regular season win in several months. I'm sorry, since early July.
Yeah.
It's going to be really tough. I'm a little worried about, maybe just barely missing out, especially with a final against North Carolina.
The one team under six is the KC Current, who is... They should not be at the bottom of the table. There's no reason KC should be at the bottom of the table.
Right. And there's nobody, clearly, that you can rely on to get an easy win. So
Yeah. So this one against Gotham this weekend is, again, this is one of the craziest tables in league history. It just has to be. So with four games left, it's possible, again, that the top team could drop out. So what do you think about this game coming up? I mean, I know... every point matters, and this is going to be a big matchup for both teams. We're both 1 point from each other. So what are your thoughts going into this one?
My sense is that it'll be close. I was initially feeling like maybe Gotham had it, just because Spirit have been on a bit of a winless streak lately. Although, I was looking back and I see that one of their last wins was a Challenge Cup game, 4-2 against Gotham. They've been pretty even back and forth this season, so I think it'll be tough.
And I think that 4-2 game was that the rain delay game, right?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to some fun stuff, some fun fan awards. So on this team, who would be your defender of the season?
And these are with the caveat that I would choose everyone, of course.
But, and also you do not speak for the rest of the podcast.
Right? Yes, Andre may have other thoughts, Joe. I think it's going to be Sam Staub. I think she's had a really great season.
Yeah.
Especially with her her set piece work.
100%. Who would you say is your midfielder of the season?
The Spirit's got so many midfielders. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pick, I think it's Ashley Sanchez.
I think she's also been
a great asset to the team.
And the best attacker of the season.
See, here we go.
I know. It's going to get tough.
This is, and I feel like if I knew the categories, I could rearrange them for everybody. But I think I have to go with Ashley Hatch. I mean, she's in the Golden Boot race.
Right. Easy enough. Young player, let's say player under 24.
Okay. All right, now I got to look up an age really quick. Now that you've said that, but I think I'm right. Good. All right. So with the caveat that Chloe Ricketts is an absolute fan favorite, love to watch her. For me, it's going to be Paige Mateer, who I think should be in the discussion for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And unsung hero.
Unsung hero. Okay, here's where we'll always put. Oh, no. This is too hard. Okay, it's got to be Andy Sullivan.
Okay,
that's a good one. I think, you know, people always don't always recognize the work that she puts in on the field, really directing play. And, you know, she's not a big goal scorer, but I think she's so essential to the team, and they don't do as well when she's not there.
Agreed. And last one would be MVP.
Oh, great. This is perfect. Trinity Rodman. There we go.
There you go.
Easy enough. She puts in the defensive work and gets goals. There we go.
Yes. And going into this game this weekend, is there a matchup that you're really you're interested in?
I don't know if I have a good answer, because now I'm like, I know there were a lot of injuries in Gotham last week, and I'm not sure who's going to be available.
I'll tell you my matchup is going to be Rodman against Nyswanger, the rookie. I think Jenna likes to get forward, and she's not going to be able to get forward with Rodman coming down the sideline and getting behind her all the time. So I think she's either going to need help or that. And Gotham has historically done pretty well against Rodman. We had Dorsey last season, who was tremendous against Rodman. And this year, it's going to be interesting to see what Nyswanger can do against, you know, Rodman, who can run all day.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, I've pulled this up. I mean, obviously Gotham is stacked with talented players. I think everybody on Hey Spirits is a big fan of Tara Mikyon. Always like to see, because she's a converted forward to center back, how she's going to do against some of the top forwards. So I'm looking forward to see her and how well she'll contain maybe a Lynn Williams.
Yeah, or Esther Gonzalez now.
Oh my gosh, how could I forget?
Right. Let's get over to the Hey Spirit podcast. So first, tell us like how that got started.
Sure. So I think Hey Spirits is really the brainchild of my co-host, Andre Carlisle, who's been covering the Spirit for a long time and also hosts about 3 or 4 soccer podcasts. So he'd been wanting to put out a Spirit-focused podcast for a while and asked me to, and Joe, who also is our third co-host, asked us to do that with him after we were unceremoniously separated from Vox Media.
Yeah. Andre's a good guy. We've had him on the podcast and hung out with him a lot at the draft, and he's a super fun guy. And so tell us what makes you guys such a good pairing.
I think, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think we work well together at coming up with questions and ideas of things to talk about. Andre is so well-versed in soccer and, very good at talking about tactics. I usually am the one to come up with the list and the organization for the episode. So I think those are kind of our different roles, as I try to be like, okay, here's the format. And he asked me to rein him in if he talks too much.
He does talk too much. And it's funny because he's the same way as I am, where we didn't expect to be doing this and we didn't think we had that much to say, but we do have a lot to say, apparently. Yeah. So where can we find your work?
Definitely at Hey Spirits. We try to get an episode every week, and we try to do a lot of player interviews. So we have one, if this week came out, Ashley Hatch. Check that out.
Yeah, you're killing with the player interviews. It's like one after another. It's nice.
Yeah, we've been on a good streak. We have another one, I think, on the way that Andre did while I was on vacation. So that'll be coming soon. And I think, trying to find the name of our Twitter account, Hey Spirits. You can also find writing by me and Andre at thedistrictpress.com, where we write about the Spirit.
Sounds good. So what is your feeling going into this game this weekend? Do you think it's going to be win, draw, loss? What do you think?
I feel like a draw. The Spirit are a team of draws.
Yeah, I think one thing we do have in common is we're both rooting for a Houston Dash this weekend because racing is getting too close for comfort, getting close to the table. And Houston's basically out of it, so let's go Houston.
If we want to just keep this six, fine by me.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so sadly, we've come to the end of our interview. Obviously, I thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I like to do these interviews to kind of get a snapshot of a team. And I talk about it in like writing chapters. Like this is going to be one chapter of the team. And then next time we talk to you, we can close that chapter, open up a new one, and, you know, keep telling the story of the Spirit and this league.
Look forward to it.
Absolutely. So good luck the rest of the way, but not this weekend.
We'll see.
or we'll probably end up facing again. This is probably the way it's going to work out. Gotham returns to action Saturday night at Red Bull Arena. Buckle up, fans. It's going to be a ride. This is going to be a terrific game. Are you ready, Annie?
I am. I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready.
Yeah, trepidation. I hear it. Me too. All right, let's go. Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the TeePublic store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at soccerovergotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.